Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns are at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butthole got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 206, boys are back this week. Looking forward to a good catch-up, talk Natty Champs, talk a little this and that, talk some BMX stuff going on. What's up, Palm Daddy?
What's up, buddy? Good to be back. We did take a week off last week, didn't we?
No, we did not. We did the Papendal recap.
Oh, why did I feel like we took a week off last week? Why does it feel like it's been a while?
Because we're both been doing so much shit. I think it just feels like we haven't podcasted in a while.
I think we just haven't had just a classic one with not a race in a while too. Papendal, you know, Turkey the couple weeks before that. It's been a lot of shit going on.
Boys have been on the move also, both of us.
Yeah, seriously. Tori with his camps. Me just, you know, trying to become a firefighter still just chipping away.
You see a kid with an axe just chipping away at the iceberg. That's Palm Daddy.
That's me. Before we get into it, ProGate Europe winning starts with an absolutely great gate. And, you know what? That's what people do on this show. People come on the show and they get great gates. They listen, they get great gates.
Coffee Chatter brought to you by ProGate Europe, right, James? Presenting sponsor of the show.
Presenting sponsor brought to you by the people, for the people. Get one today. All the above.
I would argue we're almost simpatico with ProGate. Like, you think ProGate, you think Coffee Chatter, you think Coffee Chatter, you think ProGate.
You know what? I hope people do. I'm very much, they're a company that I respect so much that I hope people think that.
You know what? You wouldn't believe how many tracks I've gone to now where, like, the TO will come up to me and be like, yeah, we got a new gate. And they'll be like, well, you know, it's not a ProGate, but it's still pretty good.
And you're like, yeah, for sure. Totally. It's going to be okay. Not good, though. It's not going to be that great. Let's be real.
ProGate Europe, get yours today. Just went out for a nice dinner on Lake Ontario. Had a couple old fashions, so I'm lubed up and ready for the show.
That's your drink of choice these days, isn't it?
God, it was just a fucking 10 out of 10 old fashioned. Like, really? It was so good. Yeah, I had a couple of them. They were just incredible.
I don't think I've sat down in a scenario with some people like to actually enjoy one. I'm looking forward to one where we can do that.
Oh, dude, it's the best. So I was just picturing before we started the show, I was just picturing us hanging out in my house and we just have a couple old fashions and then just get on Coffee Chatter and give it a rip.
Okay. When I come down there later this year, I'm going to bring the setup. We'll bring the whole kit and we'll make a setup maybe on your patio. I don't know. Maybe we go somewhere. Who cares? And we'll just have a couple of drinks and live show.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So we're sitting overlooking, I was with the Hunt family. That's who I'm staying with right now in Ontario. And we're just overlooking Lake Ontario on the patio, drinking a couple old fashions. That's living.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That is living.
That's pretty fucking incredible. What a way to spend 4th of July, by the way.
Yeah. Happy Canada Day, July 1st. Obviously passed a few days ago, and happy 4th of July to all our American friends. I was in the U.S. on Canada Day, and I was in Canada on the 4th of July. So there's that.
I kind of had a chuckle when I saw your tweet about that, the little opposite. You're basically one with both countries. So, I mean, it's same. It's just like a different, you know, it's the same.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So it's like, it's kind of interesting. Both holidays are cool because you know what's good about both of them? They're basically the same time. It's like July, it's hot, the weather's good, everyone's just happy and feeling proud of their country, and everyone just wants to barbecue and kick it.
It is awesome, isn't it?
It's great.
It's the best kind of party. Set me up in a backyard somewhere house, you know, maybe down by the beach, barbecue set up, everyone's just chilling. I mean, some people like to have ragers, but that's not what it's about. You're not getting dressed up. You're just hanging out, just enjoying.
Yeah. Have you spent much time in Ontario in the summer?
Mm-mm.
It is fucking hot here.
Is it?
It's hot.
Is it? Like, I've spent the races in Toronto that we do, I can remember, but I haven't spent enough time to really soak it in. It's humid though too, isn't it?
It's basically like the same summer as like North or South Carolina or Georgia or Alabama, like the South would have. I mean, it's like 32 Celsius feels like 38. So that's like what, 90 feels like 105 probably with humidity.
Yeah,
it's spicy.
Dude, how does it get like that when it's so cold in the winter?
Dude, I don't get it. Like I don't understand. I mean, if you look at like where Toronto is, like if you look at latitude, it's pretty south. Like it's like NorCal.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But I don't know why it's like so hot here in the summer and then so cold in the winter. It doesn't make, they get four legit seasons here.
Mm-hmm. Because what does the winter get? Minus 30? Am I talking crazy? I might be talking crazy.
I don't know if it gets that cold. Like I think it, I don't know, minus 10, 20 probably, which is obviously really cold. But yeah, the summers will be like 40 Celsius with humidity.
That's crazy. 40, 50. Let's say it's a 50 degree difference.
Dude, it's hot. Like, honestly, I can feel the heat through the track and the pavement through my shoes.
That's nuts.
at the end of a day of coaching, I'm just covered in sunscreen and sweat. Yeah. Dude, it's like, you know what's unpleasant? 8:30 in the morning, it's very hot and humid already, and you just got to lather yourself with sunscreen.
Oh, it's awful. It's so, I just hate the feeling.
Yep. And then you step out of your car and just get absolutely torched. Yeah.
Are you a spray-on guy with sunscreen? Are you spraying? Are you using
No. So now being in San Diego, I use a good sunscreen. I use like a kid's sunscreen for sensitive skin because when you got to put it on a lot, you need a good one.
Okay. Does it feel like it's got that sliminess to it, or is it pretty good?
No, it's shitty to put on. I fucking hate it. Yeah. It's like has zinc in it too, so it doesn't rub in real great. It's not great. That's not awesome.
It's just, it helps you. It protects you. It does its job.
Well, it's like, what else are you going to do? Going to stand outside for 6 hours in the sun without sunscreen and just lose my skin?
Just get absolutely roasted.
So have you ever tried the old trick where you wear like long sleeves and pants instead?
I was legitimately just going to talk about that, being like, I used to make fun of Robert all the time because when he would go to Bellflower, he would go in jeans and a long sleeve and a big hat. And I'd be like, dude, I'm sweating. It's 35 Celsius out right now. I'm sweating buckets. He's like, I'm here all the time. I'm not going to put sunscreen on every time. So he just wears jeans and a long sleeve. To your point, it makes sense. Like, if you're going to be out there that much and you don't want to put sunscreen on every time, like, just do that, I guess. You just sweat buckets.
Yeah. And it almost is cooler in a way because the sun's not directly on your skin. And I got to say, I do that in San Diego sometimes. It's nicer than wearing sunscreen all the time because sunscreen fucking sucks.
Yeah. I think it's if it's humid, do you think it's a no-go thing? But if it's dry heat, you can do that? Or does it matter?
Well, I'm going to try it tomorrow. So we'll see. I'm going to wear pants and a long sleeve shirt tomorrow.
Do you go with like a loose fitted shirt? You have to, I think, right?
You got it. I think you got it. You got to go. I have these like really light track pants, and I also have these pants with like little tiny holes in them. So hopefully I get a little breeze action in there.
Maybe a little northern breeze. That would be nice.
Yeah, I have like a 3/4 zip that's like a shirt material, but it's long sleeves. So I'm going to give that a whirl.
All right, that'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned for updates, maybe on Twitter or Insta. I'll be looking.
We're going to get updates maybe on Twitter / next week. But no, I had a really good clinic today, and I'm going to have one tomorrow at Milton. Then I'll be at Stouffville on Thursday, Stouffville BMX. Kingston BMX Friday, Cornwall BMX Monday, and then Nepean BMX Tuesday, Wednesday. So contact the track to register if you're still interested. But yeah, so my Ontario trip started. It's going great, but it's hot.
Hashtag the tour. Yeah, hell yeah. When are you going home? Sorry, I know that you said like four camps.
Next Thursday. I go home next Thursday. Land San Diego at 8:30 p.m. Savannah's brother is getting married the Saturday in Malibu, but they have the rehearsal on Friday. So get this. We either have to drive up to L.A., like as soon as I land, we got to get in the car and drive to LA, or we're gonna have to get up at like 4 a.m. the next morning and drive. So it's pretty much a lose-lose for Uncle T over here.
Fuck, that's gonna suck.
You know, I'm looking forward to the wedding, but that little situation is not ideal.
That 12 hours right there is gonna be an absolute grind.
So I fly across North America and then gotta drive 3 hours. So
I say you do the sleep and then go, because you're gonna be jet lagged. It's gonna suck more for Savannah, but you're gonna be jet lagged. You're gonna wake up at like 4 and be like, oh, it's 7 o'clock. I don't mind this. I can manage.
You know what? I think so. Cause then I at least get a night at home before going, and I don't have to fly across the continent and then just drive 3 hours right away.
You're going to turn like a, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 hour trip of flying into like a 12, 13, 14 hour trip.
Yeah. So I'm thinking I go to sleep, wake up at 4, have a coffee and just burn it.
I like it.
Well, here's the thing. You have to it's like a 3-hour drive to Malibu. So like from San Diego. So you'd have to, here's the thing. If we left at like 6 a.m., we'd hit LA at 8 and they would just take 5 hours. It would take 5 hours to get there.
Yeah. You can't do that.
No. So we're going to have to get up at 4.
I say you do the wake up at 4 and then, you know, to make it good on Sav, you just be the one that you're just gonna have to drive. She can get to sleep in the passenger seat. You get to drive.
Oh yeah. Driving is 100% my responsibility. Yeah. That's not even a question at this point. Yeah.
Oh, classic.
So this past weekend, Natty Champs, I always find it fun or kind of cool to see everyone post, like the photos of their jerseys if they won or post the result at Natty Champs. I think it's kind of a cool weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we've talked before. It's one of the coolest weekends of BMX. There's a bunch of them, but this is one of the coolest ones. Everyone likes and appreciates chasing after the national championship title, going after the sleeve. And it means many different things to so many different people, so many different countries. Some countries are obviously more stacked than others, but winning it, it seems to mean the same amount to everyone. I'm going to say it though, this year's national champs had a weird vibe around the whole European scene, in my opinion.
Kind of did, right?
Yeah. I don't know the full details of everyone, but like I've spoken to some of the French guys to get a little opinion. This is that drama maybe we kind of mentioned that it's like there were some issues there, but it seems like there's more European guys that also weren't doing it. I don't know. There wasn't the same attraction this year for national champs as normal years, I feel like.
What the hell is going on with the French national champs? That's what I want to know.
Dude, I don't know. So, dude, what is it? The top five guys, four guys, top four guys, three guys, one, two, three guys.
Sylvain race it?
No, so Romain didn't race it. Joris didn't race it. Sylvain didn't race it. I talked to Sylvain. Ava's very pregnant. She's going to be having a baby soon. So, unfortunately, I think he's going to be missing Euro champs as well because of that. Because I think she's due soon. So he didn't race it. And then I saw Joris's post just about, you know, trying to keep himself safe and ready to go for the Euro champs, I think, and world champs. Romain probably the same. By the sounds of it, the track was not up to par for like what you would expect a French national championships to be.
I kind of got that from Ren Carell's post that the track was just no bueno. I saw nothing about it. Honestly, it's like a race didn't even happen. I don't even know who the fuck won it.
I'm sorry to the French guy though. Who the fuck is that guy?
No, who won it? I didn't even see who won it.
I can't tell you his name. Do you want me? I can look his name up right now. Let me look his name. We're gonna be respectful of this guy because he obviously won one of the most prestigious championships.
We're gonna show our respect after saying after I said I don't know who the fuck won.
I mean, we both did it. I'm sorry. It is what it is. It's not like he's not on the national team. Let's be real. He's not at the World Cups on the national team. So how are we supposed to just?
We can't. Good on the French though. No, we can't. Good on the French for having a time trial still there for Natty Champs. I think that's cool.
I think so too. It's one of the You need to keep those.
Yeah, I agree. But kind of disappointing. I completely get where the guys are coming from not wanting to do it. There's a lot on the line now with the year out from the O show. They got big races coming up. I get it. It's just too bad because you want your best rider. Like, you want your best riders the national champs. Like, it'd be cool for all the French people there and stuff if Joris and all those guys are there.
Right. Corentin Dubois.
No clue. Never heard of him.
I feel like I know Dubois. I don't know Corentin.
Gonna be honest, I've never heard that name in my life.
Sorry, Corentin. How do you say sorry?
I don't know.
How do you say sorry in French?
Désolé.
Désolé, Corentin.
He's obviously a good rider, but yeah, I've never heard his name before.
So. That's clearly phenomenal. Yeah,
congrats, yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it's happened many years. They have a huge ass month where they have national champs, Euro champs, and then world champs in the same month. This time it isn't in the exact same month, but it's in a 5 month or 5 week span, I think. And they're coming off World Cups that were a couple weeks apart, and they're coming off a World Cup that was a couple weeks ago. A week ago? No, the World Cup was a week ago and then National Champ weekend, I think. So it's like, I mean, the guys they're just getting steamrolled with races, and it's like the biggest one is at the very end. So it's like, cool, I'm just going to wear myself down until we get to the last one, and then I'm not going to be at my 100%. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, they do have a busy July, but they also don't have to travel like North Americans or South Americans or Australians do. They don't have to go overseas back and forth all the time. So it's like, I mean, yeah, you do have to race quite a bit, and there's a lot of big races, but they're not far.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's true. It's a bigger deal if you're flying all over the world, I guess, for the races when you have shorter flights, maybe drives 100%. It's different for sure. Okay.
Like they never really have to leave Europe. Like it's,
no, they don't.
It's, I mean, it's a very easy travel schedule. Yeah, it's a lot of racing, but it's like a very easy schedule for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that part is. Do you think this year maybe more, it was probably like for the French guys at least, it seemed like it was more the track choice.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about it more because I saw some videos of it. It's hard to see with video. I kind of, you know, didn't really like dive in depth on the video of about the track and dissect it. So it'd be interesting to hear from Jeremy or one of those guys that was there.
Why the fuck? Why isn't there like a video of like these national champs? Like, why haven't I seen shit?
Like, I don't even know what happened there, honestly.
I think it's ridiculous that we haven't seen anything.
I know. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I'm trying to look on Jeremy's tag stuff. I see Bessesson. How do you say Bessesson?
Bessesson. I raced a European round there when I was junior.
Oh, shit. Okay. I think the track is very different from then.
Probably. Yeah, it was cool when I was there. It was, holy shit, was it tiring. Oh, really? My God.
I think that's where the national champs are, though, right?
I don't know, honestly.
Sorry, what am I saying? Euro champs are in Bessesson.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome, what I was trying to say in my bad English. I'm looking at the BMX Bessesson Instagram, and that's a video of Jeremy Papendal, and that's not it.
I think the European champs in general is a cool race. Like, that's badass. They have a European championships.
I agree, dude. Yeah. And
so speaking of, okay, speaking of European championships, do you feel like there's like six different Pan American championships going on all the time? Like, I feel like there's like six different Pan American champions. I feel like every time I look on Instagram, there's a different champion to Pan Americanos.
It's because it's the, I don't even know what to say. The South Americans, dude, we've talked, they have so many games. That's why, I think. Yeah.
So many. It's so cool. But yeah, I feel like there's always some sort of like Latin American or Pan American or some sort of champion.
It's crazy. It's hard to keep up with, honestly.
I know.
Europeans is easy. It's one European championship. It's very easy to keep up with.
I guess now in North America, like North America and South America are together for Pan American championship, which is kind of cool, but
it's cool, but it's still kind of bullshit. It's,
you have Pan American championships, but then you also have the Pan American games, which is different.
Yeah. Yeah, then we're not, PMX isn't in the Pan American Championships, but it's in the Pan Am Games. The games are a way bigger deal than Pan Am Champs, though, right?
Cam Larson won Pan Am Champs.
Oh, that's... No, that's Continental Champs.
Yeah, but it's... I think it's considered Pan... Is it not called considered Pan American Champ? I think I'm pretty sure you like your title of Pan American Champion.
I thought the trackies would go to this. They would have a Pan American Championships and a Continental Champion.
Here's where it gets... It gets really... See? My point exactly. Yeah. It gets really confusing. But Cam Larson, I'm pretty sure, would be like considered Pan American Champion, but then so is the guy who won Pan Am Games. So...
Dude, that's a little weird.
It gets a little tough.
A little dicey right there. Huh. I just tried to look at the video of the track, and I was seeing some third and last straight. I'm getting like insta clip stuff. So everyone's like a little clip of a one jump or a couple of, you can't tell what the track's like. So we can't really, I'm not going to comment on if the track was good or bad. It's hard to say anything. We'll just say it sucks that the top guys weren't there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not all of them.
I guess so.
I want to see this race though, dude. How does this guy win?
We got to see. We got to see it, dude.
So,
Canadian weekend once again in Drummondville for the, like, dude, how many Drummondville national champs have there been in Canada now?
It's what, since 20, when did we start going there? 2013? No.
I want to say 14 was the first year. So 14, 15, 14, fucking 15. 18.
18, 19, no. But we went there 20, in 19, but it wasn't for national champs.
It was fourth time, probably.
Fourth national champs, let alone the Canada Cups that are there.
They've also had Canada Cups, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of the live feed?
I watched first round of Ryan because I waited to watch a round, and then all of a sudden I realized the race was over, and I was like, fuck. So I watched the first round, realized the race was over, and then watched the main event. That's all I watched.
I'm going to say there was a lot of people posting me in copy chatter calling it official practice. So that was kind of entertaining. I got to say the live stream was excellent, dude. It was, they had like a screen inside a screen. So like one moto would be on the track, then they had a little screen showing the gate and the first straight of the other moto. And then it would blow that one up and then it would go the next round, the little screen. The coverage was elite.
No shit, eh?
It was really good. The format is impossible to follow. Like it is, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know if you watch most of it. I watched most of it. It made no sense. There'd be like, okay, 12 boys. And then it'd be like 40 to 44 women. And then it'd be like 17 and over ladies. And it'd be like 8-year-old girls. And it's like, what format are we doing here? What the hell is going on?
I feel like that's a Canada. Is that a Canada thing? Or is it a UCI thing? Like UCI system? Like, I don't know.
I've never seen the races run like they have in Canada. So that part gets really confusing. I would think it's something to do with laps that have semis or mains and ones that don't, I would think.
Yeah.
But I don't really get how they do it. Like the mains were all out of order. It's kind of hard to follow.
You want me to try to give you a quick rundown of what I think it is? I think it's exactly what you say. They have like their list of how it would normally go. And then every class, let's just say that has a semis, they go before those ones. And then they stay in their order. And then the ones out of those that have quarters go before. So then you got to run all those. But then once you get to the semis, then they run semis. And by the time the mains roll around, those people that were the three motos go first. And then the people that have semis go after. And the people that had the quarters would end up going last. I think
that's kind of what I figured. Even in your explanation, I zoned out. It's just very uninteresting.
I know.
It's very confusing.
And then on top of that, the pros will just go here, 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 and then you'll just throw them in at the very, very end.
And then also, so there's three moto numbers. So I was talking to one of the riders I work with that are that live in the US but are going to Canada because they're to race national champs. They're Canadian.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah, there's like 190 motos last year. I'll say, okay, there's not like an actual 190 motos. I'm glad I told them because they wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah.
So for those people, because no one knows because only Canada does this.
No, this is UCI.
Dude, I haven't seen it anywhere else.
I think it's in Euro rounds, dude, isn't it?
Dude, I've never seen it at a Euro round.
Okay, continue though. Continue.
I'm pretty sure it's just Canada.
Okay.
So there's three moto numbers. Like there'll be, say there's 60 total motos and you're moto 40 first round. So you'll be, instead of moto 40 for three motos, you'll be like 40, 80, 120 because there's 160 motos or whatever. Like you'll be like, 40, no, you'd be 40, 100, 140, something like that.
How many motos are there? 60 motos total?
6, 12, 18. So you'd be like 40, 120, 160 is what you'd be.
Yeah, sure.
It just gets bloody confusing and you got to write down three moto numbers. It doesn't make sense to do that way.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. And then you got to keep,
we got to nip this right now.
That's a huge nip. This isn't a nippable thing.
This is right up there with official practice. This is right up there with any of the shit we talked about before. You got to nip Canada. I love our country. I love BMX, but you got to nip this moto count issue.
It's, you would think it's easier to follow because even in like the finals, you just know, is it the final?
There's no way it's easier to follow. You got to memorize three numbers, just 40. You're just 40 all three rounds. You're
right.
Yeah. 41, 21, 60, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You just, your moto 40 and then your semi this, and then your main event is main event this. Just like USA BMX does that part.
Yeah, the USA BMX format's much better.
It's very easy to follow. If you just read, it's easy to follow.
Yeah, it is easy to follow. So that's got to get nipped right now.
Okay, nip it in the butt.
Yeah.
Tori's on moto boards now, guys. He's an official moto builder.
It's been 15 years and that point doesn't work.
We need to lock it up.
Yeah, we need to lock it up.
But the racing though was actually pretty good. I thought So today I actually was hanging out with Ryan. So we were chatting about his racing, about the U23s, the juniors, and then some of the younger races. And I watched a couple of the like 14x videos or Junior Devo stuff. Dude, good racing. Good stuff all around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, dude, we got a good level of riders in Canada. Like, we have world-class riders in every age group. It was cool to watch them too. Like, I love that race. Like, I think we both really like it, and it's cool to watch people go for a national champ title.
Yeah, I agree. It is like, you know, there's a lot on the line. So when they're mixing up, especially the younger kids, it's like, we compare it to junior hockey. Like, they're just more wild. Elite, I'll be honest, elite racing was kind of boring. I mean, Molly and Ryan are top of the class right now. Like, spanked them. It's just like, they're there right now. But the U23 and junior I watched, and they were dicing and duking and going, they were going for it. It was sick.
Yeah. Ryan and Molly, obviously world-class, and won their classes and put on a good show. And
yeah.
The junior and U23 classes were good. They're pretty tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was really cool. And there's some good battles behind, like, too, like, there were some good battles for podium spots too. So.
Yeah. Like, I was happy for Carson winning junior. I feel nostalgic with him. I worked with him for like 4 or 5 years, and now he's on the national team and I just won a junior national title. He rode so well. Like, he had some good pull, got loose in the semi, and still held. You see a semi, by the way?
No.
Dude, he did a one footer over the pro section, didn't jump the last one, rolled it, still got fourth, and then had like lane six in the main and just ripped one off.
Fucking rights. He clearly had issues with that second straight. Carson, we got to smooth out the second straight, because his main event was a little dicey itself too. That second straight was a little huckabuck.
Carson's sick. Always been a good rider. He's awesome.
He's like incredibly talented, incredibly skilled. He's been junior for like 5 years, dude. What are we doing, Carson? Like,
dude, doesn't it feel like it?
Dude, like 4 years ago, we're like, oh, you're junior. He's like, no. I was like, no, you're junior. Like, that was like 4 years ago. And what do you mean you're still racing junior? What are we doing?
Yeah, so I'm assuming he's going to the world, and I'm excited to watch him and cheer him on at the Worlds.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Really awesome.
Stoked for Riley Meyer. Been working with him for a couple of years. Got second to Ryan Elite Men, so I know he was stoked on that.
Nice. Yeah.
I got to tell a story about Brady Michke. Did you happen to see Sue's post on Facebook?
I did not. Do tell.
Okay, so Brady killed his class, was on another level, good start, good pull, jumped the triple on the first straight, only kid in his class, fucking nice. Won nationals, so stoked for him. So get this, they're at a hotel. So I was talking to Sue and Chris the whole weekend, and I was laughing my ass off. They're at a hotel that apparently is, like, honestly, super strict rules. Kids couldn't be out of the room past 9 without an adult. Jesus. Like, they were breaking all these kinds of rules, like no bikes anywhere. The hotel was pissed about everything. They wake up on race day, dude, rental car. Chris walks out, rental car's gone. There's just no rental car.
No Brady's way.
Like helmet gear. Brady's helmet gear and stuff is in the car. So,
okay. That's mistake number one.
Yeah, that is a mistake.
That's mistake number
one. We gotta live and learn from this. You never leave stuff in the, minivan.
Not before race night, especially not before race night. That's rule number one.
You gotta go the extra mile. You gotta bring it inside. It's what it is.
Okay, continue. Sorry.
So anyway, finds helmet, whatever, pants, gets some stuff, wins nationals. So that's pretty sick.
Awesome.
Come to find out that, I guess, dude, like 25 rental cars or cars got stolen from Drummondville, and they were all found, I think, in Montreal or something, at a port or something like that, ready to be like shipped away. Yeah, gnarly. So they ended up, long story short, they ended up getting the minivan back. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, what a way to wake up and, first off, have your car just gone. That's just a tough way to start a day, especially national champs. The fact they got it back,
dude,
though.
That is a very tough way to start the day. I'm just picturing Chris walking outside with the keys going, like, all right, so where the hell is my minivan?
You're pressing the button like, man, I swear I parked it right here. It's just doing a lap around the building. Like, did I leave it in the back?
It's one of those things that's not funny, but it's hilarious.
It's funny now because it's over, but dude, in the moment, it's panic central. You're freaking out.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, it's like all you're thinking of on race day is the race day. You're not thinking about anything else, and you wake up and you got to deal with that shit.
You're like, give me a break. Dude, even if you don't have a race, that's got to be, it's one of the worst things probably to deal with, having to get a car back. Like, where do you start? Yeah. Halftime, where do you start with that?
Just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know.
Crazy town. Yeah, that's crazy.
So, laugh out loud, funny story. Good job, Brady. Congrats.
I love it. Good job, Brady. We'll just give a shout out to, you know, a couple other national champs. I'm just on 15 BMX's page, but I saw Mariana Classic just wins it again.
Yep.
She's just a queen. I think they had time trials as well. Looks like she got gold in both.
She looks strong. Like, I saw that video of her time trial. It looked really powerful.
Did she? Yeah, that's good. I saw Devo won for the Dutchies. That's cool. They're out. They have a good crew, good race. Meryl won for women, so awesome. Good for her. I don't know if Laura was racing.
Small, congrats.
I didn't see the race. I didn't see, and I saw Vanetta, and sorry, Manon Vistra wasn't racing either. So she's obviously been really quick lately. So
honestly, I kind of don't get not racing national champs. I always raced ours.
I know. I'm going to play on their side. Like, I'm pretty, I'm a softie sometimes. And it's like, if I had a week with, like, if I was in a position where I was trying to go after a world title, if I was trying to go after those rainbows and it was the last of three races in a 4 week span, I'll be honest, I'd probably be a little soft and be like, hey, I'm going to take a breather here.
But it's honestly, it's only one day though. It's not like it's 3 days of racing. Yeah. It's not like it's ultra exhausting. You don't really have to taper for it if you don't want.
But yeah, okay. Do you think in this sense though, it's like after Papendal, you can't really take a break if you want to win national champs. You kind of got to keep training, go after it. So then you don't take your break till this week and you're just a week later on everything getting set up for the next future races.
Well, as like I said, I think you can kind of, I don't want to say train through national champs, but you don't really have to, I don't know.
Like, I get you can train through it, but you also, the people probably have, like, it's been a pretty big, I don't know, month span there with the World Cup. So people probably want a little bit of a break too.
No, I mean, I get it completely. I just think, yeah, no, I get why people are doing it for sure. And like, I did that kind of stuff too when I raced, but I think national champs, you got to make an effort to do it. It's your country's national championship. I think, especially as the top pros, I feel like we all have an obligation to do it and support our country and support the title. I think it's important.
Yeah.
So I think you just got to bear and fucking do it.
Yeah, fair enough. Big national champs guy. Sleeve is fucking awesome, I think, too. I've said it before. I think it's one of the coolest things in our sport to have that.
It is, and I think you got to support your country, especially as a top rider. It's important for BMX in your country, and it's like, yeah, you might not care about that, but, I mean, I always did anyway.
Yeah. I instantly was talking to Ryan after. I was like, okay, what kits are we getting the sleeve on here? We need to look sharp soon. We need to look like, we need to get the kits, like, fired out there.
Yeah. Do you think was he having them pre-made or did he make them after?
No, he was definitely the after. He wasn't pre-making those.
Dude, some years, no joke, I told Redline, like, yeah, we're racing national champs. Let's make my jerseys after it. And dude, no joke, like a couple times, like before the race, they sent me them with the national champ sleeve. And I was like, Jesus.
No way, you fucking dog.
Dude, I was like, this is just not good karma, guys. We can't be doing it. It's like, this is old. I was like, oh my God.
I really need to come. You're like, I really need to come through now. Oh, I cannot be asking them for new jerseys again. But guys, actually, can you send me some new ones without the sleeve? Yeah.
I know. It's like, I'm so not the person I would never ask for something like that. And yeah.
You fucking do. That's such a, that's a big dick move right there. That's like a,
I didn't ask for it.
I know. I love it. Oh yeah. That's so good. That's a move,
Stoked,
though.
Stoked for Ryan, and he put on a good show.
That was good. Is there any national champs that weren't on this weekend that are still waiting to come, like any big ones? I don't really think so, hey?
U.S. already had theirs, obviously.
U.S. had theirs. Australia's had theirs.
Who won the men's? Who won Columbia men's? I didn't see that, actually.
Diego Arboleda. So
did Carlos race it and stuff?
I don't even know if Carlos raced it, dude. Normally he's a big poster, and I didn't see a post at a race. I saw a post, I thought, at dinner. So I have no clue.
What about the Swiss? Did Simon?
Swiss, I didn't see the race. I'm just getting results. Gil Brenner won it, and then Zoe won for women.
Oh.
So
I saw Zoe won.
So, I mean, Switzerland's a big one to win, too. They have a good handful of top guys. So, congrats to Gil. Like, that's a huge one. I mean, they're all huge, but some are, like we said, more stacked than others with the field these days. So, yeah, that's a big one.
What about Great Britain?
I saw Kai won and Beth. So, I would like to see that one, too. So,
my picks for the Worlds. Those are my picks for the Worlds. Sticking to them.
Just saying. They're just getting going.
I think they're going to do a double GB win at home.
Dude, can you imagine a world champs double win at home? Like
Elise and Corby and Rock Hill.
Just thinking about that. Like, that's just all time.
Yeah.
Has it happened since Rock Hill?
I don't think so. No, I don't. No, because Papandaw was Neek and Beth. Yeah, I don't think so. That's rare.
Pretty fucking special.
Yeah.
Let's do your coach's corner.
Let's have a coach's corner. So these are two things that I hear riders complain about and that I've helped some of my riders with, especially. One of them being, you notice how a lot of times riders complain about the weather a lot?
Oh, all the time, yeah. That's a common thing.
At the rate.
That's a common thing. Just
completely burns your energy, completely beyond your control. Like, whether it's cold, hot, rainy, windy, who gives a shit? Just accept it and ride the best you can and deal with it.
Yeah.
Like, you can spend so much energy and waste so much of your precious energy that you've built up for the race because it's too hot or whatever. Like, just deal with it and ride your best.
There's nothing you can do. Like you said, literally nothing. It's mentally draining thinking about it and talking about it and worrying about it all the time. If you want to throw a random comment in here and there, sure. But like, you're wasting your time if you're just constantly worrying about it.
You know how it's like, race weekends are so exhausting. Training can be exhausting. If it's hot, it's like, stop talking about hot. Stop complaining about it. Just get out and do it. This is what you do. This is what you chose to do. Like, go out and do it.
If you're choosing to be an athlete and choosing to race BMX and choosing to race at the highest level, like, that's part of it. We're not a sport that's in a enclosed stadium environment. Like, this is one of those elements you just deal with. Part of the thing I find exhausting about is people that like to go over and above, or like, they have to go over and above with their coaches talking about the strategy and what we're going to do. It's like, the coach should know well enough what to do. Like, you don't have to talk to him about anything you're doing differently if it's raining or if it's hot. It's just like, you should know before, so you're not talking about it. You just have your protocols. I think that the talking about it is draining, exhausting. You got to know with your team and your coach what you do in like those situations. Like, if it's hot, okay, we're going to have ice vests. Like, don't talk about, hey, okay, after each moto, I need you guys putting an ice vest on. Like, that's, it just gets tiring talking about that, because then they're on your ass always putting these ice vests. If you have them, just know, hey, after your race, you can put an ice vest on. You should already know that. If it's raining, like, keeping your bike dry or putting it in a certain place to keep it dry, like, having people on your ass about that gets tiring. If you just already know what to do when it's raining, like, I just know to keep my grips dry. It's not a big deal. Yeah. And it's just off my mind all the time.
All that matters is you get in the gate and perform the best you can. Doesn't matter. Nothing else.
Simple as that. What do you try to tell your guys, like, if they were kind of talking to you about it?
Like, look, is what it is. Accept it. There's nothing we can do about it. And let's just deal with it. If it's hot, do your best to cool down, stay hydrated, focus and go. If it's rainy and uncomfortable, same thing. Like, just accept it. Let's just deal with it the best we can. Obviously, like you said, if it's raining, keep your grips dry, try and stay dry, try and stay warm. And then last minute, take your jacket off, say, fuck it, and just go in the gate and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag fuck it.
Yeah. Another one people always comment on that we've talked about too is, if the gate's really slow, people love to complain about it.
Dude, that's the worst though, isn't it?
So here's the thing. It is. Okay, most people, I'd say vast majority of people, don't like slow gates. And a lot of people go to a gate and the gate's slow and they're just dead in the water because they don't have a way to adapt to it. And they just spend a lot of time stressing about it because it's not what they practice on. Look, the key to doing that is you need a plan B. You need a plan for slow gates, whether it's leaving later, leaning back farther, or whatever. Everyone has their own strategy that works for them. You need to have a plan B. So if you go to a race, and a big race, and you've prepped on a pro gate or a fast gate at your home track and you got it dialed, and you go there and the gate's different and the gates drop slower or the timing's different, you can adapt to it easily without freaking out. Because I think a lot of times people are so used to their home track and feel so good and want everything to be perfect, they go there and it's different and they just don't know how to adapt. The truth is, every gate drops a little bit differently. No gate's the exact same. So you have to be willing to adapt. And honestly, that's a skill in itself in our sport. So figure something out works for you. I mean, a lot of people lean a little bit farther back. Personally, I didn't like that because I felt like it changed my gait form. So I would just keep everything the same. I kept my stance and my form, everything the same. And I would just focus on leaving later. So instead of reacting to the red light, I would allow myself to fully see it and then go, or I would stare at the first yellow if it was slow. Mm-hmm. That personally worked for me. But like I said, figure something that works for you and have it as a plan B, so you know you can rely on it and you feel confident with what you got.
Did you ever find that was an inconsistent method?
No, it worked for me actually pretty well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I would just have to remind myself, like, before every gate, okay, the gate's slow, like, see red and then don't react. And it gets tough, but I mean, you got to deal with it some way.
Yeah, like you said, it's part of it. It's part of the sport. When you get to a level where you're on razor thin margins of millimeters, like, you're going to notice every little difference in the gait. It just is what it is. So I'll be honest, like, I can personally say that one of my weaknesses was adapting to slow gates, because I tried multiple different ways eventually I'd get in my head and wanting to beat people that I was like, I'm going to do this so I can leave a little bit quicker. And it's like, no, I can't. Like, I would hit the gate and I would fuck up. Like, it was just a common theme. Yeah. So, dude, Ryan told me this strategy though. So tell me if you ever tried this. He told me, he's like, yeah, like, the fucking gate there in Drummondville and in Quebec was slow as it always is. It fucking sucks. They haven't fixed it in like 10 years, dude. Come on now. What are we doing? He's like, dude, I just, instead of putting my visor and looking at the red light, I just put my visor down low enough so it blocked the red light, and all I could see was the top yellow light. And I was like, why the fuck did I never? I'm the guy who tries everything. I'd try leaning back, dropping my heel, putting my weight, like, my front pedal down, roll the wrist, unroll the wrist, everything. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think, okay, just block the red light with my visor and leave on first yellow.
That might be the dumbest, most genius thing I've ever heard.
How gold is that, dude? Like, obviously, I think we'd still hear the beep and react a little bit earlier than just the yellow, but at least you don't have the option to see the red. Like, the problem with looking at yellow for me was the red would go and I'd end up reacting thinking the yellow is about to go. Like, I'd see red, I'd just do a late red and it wouldn't be consistent for me. If I just blocked the fucking red light out with my visor, it'd be money.
So he did that in racing this weekend.
He told me, he's like, dude, I would just drop my visor down so I couldn't see the red light. Like, not drop his visor, like, tilt his head down so he couldn't see. And I, by the sounds of it, yeah, he did that and it worked great.
God, that is fucking awesome. I've never heard of that. I never even thought of that.
Right, dude. He told me today and my jaw dropped. I couldn't speak to him. He was like, kept talking. I was like, no, we need to circle back to this little light thing you just did, because I've never heard that in my life.
That's a cheat code.
I think we just unlocked a new cheat code. Anybody that's listening to that, this, you're getting a new cheat code from Ryan.
How many people do you think are going to the track and try that now after dude, we talked about it?
So many. The amount of slow gates we had to run, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, like in the, I don't know, 2014, 15, 16, 17 range, that are just like, I could have been trying that, dude.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious.
I'm so, like, it literally pissed me off that I'm going to try to the track just because now, and I don't even need to do that.
It'd be hard to look at the light if you're that tilted down. Like, it'd be hard to see anything, I would think.
I thought so too, but to be honest, I also already just, like, my visor is normally at the tip of the, or the top of the red light anyways. So it wouldn't be that much lower.
I think I looked up a bit more.
You were more of a head. Yeah, I think you're more of a head tilter. I was just an eye looker.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah,
I remember always looking with my eyes. Yeah. I'd always want my head down. You know what?
See, like, he's found a strategy that works for him that he knows he can probably rely on and do. And that's the key. You need a plan B.
You need something.
Yeah.
So open up your toolbox, Tori. Put this one in there for your riders in case they need something.
God, that is so funny. I can't believe you did that.
It's unbelievable. I'm glad you haven't heard of it either, because I was shocked today.
I've never in all my travels heard of anyone doing that.
That's unreal.
That would be something Ryan would do. Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is a new segment I thought of. It's going to be called the Do You Agree or Disagree with This Statement?
Okay, I like it.
All right, so we can say if we agree or disagree and talk about it if we like.
Okay.
All right, first one. BMX pros aren't paid enough by sponsors and don't win enough prize money for their worth.
Ooh, that's tough. That's touchy, isn't it? My immediate
coming out guns blazing.
My immediate answer is, I completely agree with the statement, but then you throw in the worth, their worth.
Okay, so yeah, why? So you would say initially you agree with it.
100%. If you just take the statement as BMX pros aren't paid enough by sponsors and don't win enough prize money. I will agree with the prize money. I have a hard time agreeing with the sponsors, depending on the company. Because I think our sport is one of the most dangerous sports in the world. I think we are an action sport that takes ourselves very seriously and professionally, but we don't get treated that way with the earnings and with the people that come up to watch and the spectators, and just the common knowledge of the sport. I think all that.
So I'll play devil's advocate, because I've heard this argument a lot. People are like, oh, because BMXers are so athletic and the danger and everything. Like, that's not how money in sport is valued. It's not valued on that. It's valued on eyeballs and like overall interest of people watching.
That's where I come
so
back.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, we could send it off a cliff, but if no one's watching, no one cares.
No one gives a shit. Yeah. No, and I do agree with that too. And that's where I come back around when it comes to enough by the sponsors and for their worth. Because enough by their sponsors, I mean, we don't have enough people in our sport to make the sponsors be able to afford to pay other people more. Like, then the top guys are being paid, I think, personally. You could tell me I'm wrong. They could be having more money, but that's what I think. And then their worth. Like, we don't have eyeballs. Like, no one's... What am I trying to say here? No one's going to pay us more money because we don't have the worth. Like, we don't have the eyeballs on our sport. So where are we getting the money from?
Yeah, and it's hard to determine worth. I've asked some, like, brands I've worked with, like, how they value, like, what to pay someone, basically. Mm-hmm. And they said it's really difficult. Yeah. Because how do you know, like, if you sponsor someone, how do you know that they drove sales for your company? 100%. I was talking to a couple of years ago, I was doing some stuff with Voss Water, and I asked the guy that, and he said it's hard, but basically, like, they got, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson to endorse Voss. And they said, like, when he posted about it or when he endorsed it, they got a huge increase in sales. So they can kind of loosely tie, like, okay, well, chances are that, you know, he's putting it out, so people are buying it. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Most of the time, I think it's because they like the person, and it's just branding and awareness. So it's obviously a deduction for them. And it's like, you know, it's all branding, but it's hard to really quantify mm-hmm. how much that individual sell for them.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, there is no figurative value on it, is there?
No, it's hard. It's really hard to quantify value. And then also, we kind of value it off of, it's weird, like, we kind of value it off of what we know someone else might be getting. It's like, we know this person is getting around this, like, they got these results, we're kind of similar, so, like, I think we should ask for this. It's basically how it's kind of done.
It's pretty much how you go around it. Yeah. How about it?
Which is a very loose program.
It's not, I talk about our sport being professional. That's not professional in my opinion at all.
Like, if you're not selling stuff for the sponsor and you're not doing extra stuff, you're not, like, promoting it, you're not doing all that stuff. It's like, well, do you really deserve to get paid much then? You probably don't.
You know what I find interesting is that we, as riders and sponsors of brands, don't do more marketing for them. Like, they don't get commercials or promotional material made up more often. I think some of the US teams do a good job at grands. We've, like, Answer's done mm-hmm. some stuff around grands. Esker mm-hmm. Claiborne, get yours today. Not a big deal. But, like, throughout the season, like, we have, like, maybe we just, because we run the same things over and over, like, USBX will have ads that they run over and over. I don't know. It's just sometimes I feel like sometimes riders could be used more as, I don't know, brands' way to push products. While they're a team member and already being paid. Yeah.
I think so too. But I also think social media is so big now, and they, like, most of the deals, you just have to post a certain amount of times to do these kinds of posts. Like, I've had some deals with, like, outside BMX companies where it's just like, we do a certain amount of posts and that's it.
Yeah.
And they're happy. It's like, yeah, they know, like, if the person has a good following and whatever you post about it, like, that's just good. You're instantly reaching whatever thousands of people. So yeah.
It is. It's kind of funny when you get those outside companies coming in to one of, like, to us in our sport, and they don't know the figurative value of what we're approximately worth. And every now and again, you just get a high roller, and it's just like, yeah, definitely, I think I can accept that this time around. It'll be okay. We'll make that work. And you're just like, I'm making money.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't even know that I just, yeah.
Because they only see, like, your Instagram followers and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of riders are probably undervalued in BMX for their following and, like, reach to kids. I do believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was just going to say, too, add on to that. It's like, I say that as a joke that, oh, they don't know if we were making so much more than that last ad I did. Well, in reality, like, it's chump change to a normal person doing these ads. Yeah, it's absolute chump change.
It is chump change. And you know what? They might actually be, like, quantifying more of a relative value or more of a relevant value than some other BMX companies are.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So
I think a lot of people have devalued themselves or are devalued in our sport. 100%.
We need to get everyone's value up. You need to be making money.
Yep. Yep.
Money's a hard thing to come by sometimes. So next one.
Agree or disagree? BMX tracks have gotten less technical the past 5 years.
Agree.
Easy. I would agree also. Yes.
Yeah, I think we're trying to make tracks safer. And in doing so, we're not forcing more skill. We're forcing easier tracks on people to get around more safely, which in racing isn't always the thing, because then instead of racing and having to ride the track, you just race balls out and take more chances because the track's not in your way forcing you to do things.
Yep.
Personal opinion.
All right. Statement three. BMX racing as a sport is growing globally.
I agree.
I would agree also. I think it is.
I think slowly. I think we're not spiking up exponentially, but more people know about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. I guess this isn't agree or disagree, but we can just say what we think. Would you rather race BMX in the late 90s, early 2000s, or now, if you could choose?
Dude, that's a toughie. Money-wise and just action sport-wise, I want to say yes to I'd rather race in the early 90s, late 2000s. Like, it seemed like that was that old school, I don't know, action sport, BMX, we do this shit, it's cool, it's
had hip. had some flair.
But I also grew to love the training aspect side of it. Like, I really enjoyed that side of it, and it's like maybe I'd enjoy the other side more. I don't know, I never really did it, so I have a hard time saying yes. It's always like grass is always greener. You don't really know.
I gotta say, I think I was talking to Connor a while ago about this, and I think we raced at a really cool time, because like, especially when me and Connor turned pro, we were about 2010, 2011, whatever. Mm-hmm. We still got paid like in our career well from sponsors and stuff, like not as well as like early 2000s, whatever, but we still got paid pretty well. Plus then we still got to go to the Olympics. So I feel like we were kind of overlapping a little bit of both worlds.
Oh yeah.
So I'm really happy. I wouldn't have changed when I got to race. With that said, I think if you ask a 90s pro and they say they'd rather race then, and then you ask it like the last 10 years pro when they would have raced and they say then, and if people now say they would rather race now, they say then. I think that's best case scenario, because it means everyone's really happy with what they got and everyone's really happy in the sport where they're at. I think that's ideal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the opportunity now is fantastic for everyone riding. You got the Olympics, you got the USA BMX series, obviously. Mm-hmm. You can race in Europe too, but like, there is a lot of opportunity, and especially with social media and stuff, people have blown themselves up, like, as a brand, and can bring on in industry and out of industry sponsors. Like, I think it's a really cool time right now. It's a lot different than it was, like, obviously in late 90s, early 2000s, when the pros were racing then, and right. We don't really know because we were pretty young kids, but I think the opportunity now is great. It's just a little bit different than it was.
It seems like there's different avenues to make your money, make your living, and to do the sport. So I think that's really cool about the sport now. Like, you can be a top guy racing in the US, find a good sponsor that supports you and helps you get to the races, and you know, you still maybe have to get a job or you still coach or do all this, but you can get there. You can be top guy around the world, race for your national team. There's an option. Like you mentioned social media, you blow up social media, you start a YouTube channel. There's so many different avenues. You can do pump track now and make money there. I mean, like, who would have thought that was an avenue of BMX racing? And I know we don't consider it BMX, like, it's different, but it's like there's so many different avenues you can go to on a BMX bike and into racing. So it's like, it's a cool time.
Yeah. So I think if everyone likes when they raced, we've probably mission accomplished for BMX, because everyone loves what they're doing.
The one thing I will say to this day that I regret, that I wish I got to be part of, I wish they brought, like, I missed the skill of having to learn a track in a certain amount of time that was hard and technical, and you just fucking have to learn the track and then go race it later. I hate the part
that
of
was
racing.
Cool.
Yeah, I hate the part of racing now where it's like, okay, you don't have to learn the track really quickly. We'll just give you 2 weeks to learn a track. And it's like, okay, let's just get it so dialed in that it takes all the skill of having to learn a hard track away.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's finish with some questions from the grandstands here.
Let's do it. I got them up too this time, so.
All right, want to lead us off? I don't have quite open to you.
Okay, I'm going to start from the bottom, work my way up. From Jack Magnus, 718, would you rather crash in a main or get motoed? I'd rather crash
in the main.
Yeah, I'd crash in the main, dude.
This is even a fucking question?
Like, what are we doing? We're crashing the main, dog.
Get motoed? Who wants to get motoed?
Moto sucks.
Highlight, or Josh Smith, highlight that fact that the whole shot grands on flats at 12 or 13 year old. What?
Oh, I posted the picture of Corbin. I think he was talking about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
How old would Corbin have been when he whole shot on flats? He would have been
probably 12 or 13. Like you said, do you think he was probably 12, 13 years old?
12, yeah. Yeah, I think okay. 12. Yeah. Pretty good. Sawyer Sides, what's with GB not having a men's natty champ? They did. We talked about it, right?
Yeah, I just don't think it was posted about it. Well, 15 posted they had two winners, but I didn't see the race at all. I didn't see a picture of the podium. Maybe 15 was just posting about it. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think we're going to answer this. Brody underscore Deerdorf, worst brand of race bike you've used? I haven't really used a bad race brand, to be honest with you.
No, me either, actually. No. Yeah. From Z Butterworth 45, best BMX World's Final 2014 Elite Men was the best in my opinion. Yeah, that one was cool because I got second. So I'm going to go with that one too.
I just rewatched 2014 with Ryan today. We were going through like quarters, semis, and everything. That was a shit show of a race, like in a good way.
Oh boy, was it? Yeah, it was. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a hell of a show.
What was a good one? Fucking.
I mean, besides. The one in Zolder in the rain off the amateur hill was kind of cool too.
That was a sick race. Let's be real. That was sick.
Yeah, that one was good. 2013
there, yeah. 2014. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thunder Midget, how many times will we hear official practice on Friday with the return of the Reno National?
You don't see it at USA BMX race. It's more of a World Cup thing, I feel like.
It is. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So hopefully none.
Are the Beerles cold? 34. One volunteer to be one of those
I volunteer to be one of those degenerates to drink and gamble at BMX races.
From Snot Rocket BMX. Why do you guys pronounce asphalt asphalt? I don't think I say asphalt. I think I say asphalt.
Because you can say it two ways. We're Canadian, so we say it asphalt. I looked it up.
I know we talked this discussion a while ago, but. So Canadians, we say asphalt generally?
I think so. I think there's two ways. It's two ways of pronunciation.
Asphalt sounds better than asphalt.
It's like, yeah, asphalt just sounds weird. Asphalt just sounds like what it is to me. But I know it's spelled asphalt. Asphalt. I get that. Yeah, yeah. But
asphalt sounds like that's what the word was meant to be said, or how the word was meant to be said.
Yeah. Yeah. BMX commentator, how much weight has James lost since retiring from full-time BMX? Only down about 5 pounds, I think, right now.
Well, yeah, you've been retired like a week, so.
I know, it hasn't been long. I'm still in the gym. I just do a little cardio now and again. I get a little bit skinny. I'm not in the gym that often.
This question, Will Hamilton, who are the GOATs, men and women, from each decade of BMX, including the 2020s? Well, I mean, the 2020s were like 3 or 4 years in or whatever, so it's tough to say, but.
Yeah. Joris, 2010s. Mariana, 2010s. 2020s. To be determined still, but so far.
Probably, Neek. It's probably going to be Neek.
So far, it's Neek. And
yeah,
before the 2010s, Maris for me.
All right. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I mean, that's all we got, right?
I think so. Is that all we got? Yeah, that's all we got.
All right, show 206. I don't know what we called the show, but show 206.
We need to talk.
Thanks for listening, folks. We're going to have a good guest on either next week or the week after. We're going to reach out to said guest, but it's going to be a good one.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be great. So.
Yeah. All right, folks. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. Europe.
Winning, snap on green.
Snap on green. You know, winning starts the great gate. Snap on green.
Winning starts the great gate. Snap on green. See ya.
this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the track.
I hate that guy.